Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Okay, so I'm really excited about this morning. I actually love friends. I really like people, and I always have. And so when Marcus said, hey, you're week two, I'm like, bring it. Let's do this. My senior year of high school, I was the captain of the cheer squad, and I was also the school president that year. So this was really a very lethal combination of a little too much authority and on my high school campus with probably not enough responsibility for me and my cheer squad to actually handle. We had the keys to all of the snack shacks on campus, and we pretty much could write ourselves a hall pass to really get out of class in the name of getting ready for the next pep rally. And so during one of those pep rally planning meetings, we were in the on the countertops of the basketball snack shack during third period eating sour Skittles, and we whipped up ourselves a batch of fresh popcorn, and we were all talking with Amanda. And Amanda was brainstorming her big birthday wish for her defensive lineman boyfriend, Chris. And she wanted to send him a singing telegram. So we started looking through the yellow pages. All of you 90s babies, go ahead and Google that. But the rest of you might know, those of you beyond, under the 90s babies, you remember the yellow pages. And we began to kind of look through the yellow pages for someone who would do a singing telegram. But truth was, we couldn't really find anything affordable or appropriate. So then my best friend Julie said, Jenny will do it. Yes, I was Jenny in 1992. Only my mother calls me Jenny at this point in life. But I was Jenny in 1992. I didn't really sing, but I could get out of class without too much trouble. And I was always a little gutsy, and my friends knew it. So with a little more talk of what I would do, it was all set. And on Friday after lunch during fifth period, lineman Chris got the embarrassment of his senior year with this girl right here standing on top of the teacher's table, blaring a version of Happy Birthday with a little Ice Ice Baby rocking in the back. And there it was, the first of many singing telegrams that I delivered that year. Because oddly, Jenny doing singing telegrams became a thing. And I made a killing off of foolish serenades that year. Yes, I started charging. So who knew? Who knew that the friends on the countertop of the basketball snack shack could open up the door of possibilities for 1992? Who knew it? And while we can laugh and likely think back to some of the crazy things that we did with friends, I do want to acknowledge something. That this very topic of building great friendships and the possibilities can make some of you guys cringe or even roll your eyes. I get that. I get it 100% because nothing has been more painful to me than relational betrayal. I am deeply loyal, and when I go all in and you ripcord out, I am rocked to my core. Can you understand that? We all have unresolved issues, and we all have unhealed hurts, and we have plenty of defense mechanisms, reflexes, and coping strategies that sometimes we are not even aware of. And if we've ever been in intimate relationships with those that we have trust, and then they have violated our trust in some form or fashion, it leaves scars. And that scar tissue can make it tougher for us to trust the next time. And if we aren't careful, we sabotage ourselves. And we begin self-defeating behaviors because we are subconsciously afraid of it happening again. And so today, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to open up your heart and your mind to the truth that we're going to find in God's Word that has healing and promises about the benefits of friendship. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to just close your eyes for a second. And I want you to make a fist with your two hands. And sometimes when we've been wounded or hurt or someone has done something that has deeply offended us and crushed us to the core, our heart balls up like a fist and it grows hard and bitter and resentful and we get angry and we say things like, not that again. Nope, not gonna let that one in. A lot of you guys say, see, that's why I never did it in the first place. Why would I ever do it again? Ladies, you tried again and yet again. Ouch. And the pain and the scar and the callus. And so you remain closed. And so in this moment, I want you to be open to maybe trust and hear that God has healing and hope and good friends that He created you for one another. And in this moment, if you'll just open up your hands, let go of those pains so that you can receive healing and hope for what is to come even in this next hour. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that tomorrow's possibilities are built on today's personal connections. That's your first fill-in. Tomorrow's possibilities are built on today's personal connections. There's so many passages in the scriptures that talk about the reality that we truly are better together. There's one passage that says, if one sets 1,000 to flight, then two will set 10,000 to flight. Exponentially better with two. The Bible says that a cord of three strands cannot be broken. When God was creating in the garden, He said, it's not good for man to be alone, so He created woman, better together. And whether you are wired for just a few close friends or whether you are wired to feel like everyone could be a close friend, the simple fact that is that we were created for one another. But it often starts with just one. Just one. You could be one friendship away from changing the course of your destiny. I have had many divine connections that have shaped the trajectory of my future by their intersection in my life. I can think back to so many relationships that entered at just the right moment and just the right time with just the right words that set my foot in a new direction for something good that God had for me. But there's one that stands out, and I want to point us to the one friend that if we will personally connect with him, anything is possible for tomorrow. Absolutely anything. Have you actually considered, I know that you've come into this place, and many of you know God, and some of you are seeking, but you came, and I want to have you consider that Jesus could actually be your friend. Jesus is more than a savior, though he is that. And if that's what you need this morning, he is that. But he's more than just a healer. He's more than just a provider. He's more than a good shepherd or our guide. Jesus wants to be your friend. If you pursue Jesus as a friend, I'm telling you, your future is assured. And what does that even look like? Some have defined friendship as knowing the heart of another and then sharing one's heart with another. So we share our heart with those that we trust, and we trust those who care about us. So we confide in our friends, not because we have confidence that they will use, well, we do confide in them because we have confidence that they're not going to use the information to harm us, but perhaps to actually help us. And then they, in turn, confide in us for the very same reason. There is trust. There is love. Jesus can be considered your friend for this very reason. He wants what is best for you. We can confide in him because he can be trusted. I know that humans have hurt you. Jesus is supernatural. He is more than human, and he can be trusted. And in turn, like any mutual friendship, Jesus wants to confide in you. He wants that with you. He will speak to you just like any friend would. And this one friendship can truly shape the trajectory and determine your destiny. In John 15, 15, Jesus began calling his disciples, the men who walked around with him. He began to call his disciples friends rather than servants because he had entrusted them with everything he had heard from his Father. Jesus trusted the disciples. He didn't order them around like servants. He wasn't just like the big man, like bossing everybody around, saying what you can do and what you can't do. He entrusted them. He called them his friends. They were not perfect. They were not extraordinary. They were just like you and I. They just cultivated a friendship with Jesus. Here's a few things that we can do to really begin cultivating friendship with God. You can begin to listen to him. I know we spend a lot of time talking to him, but you can actually listen to God and he will speak. You can spend time in quiet and just sit. And for me, sometimes I'll sit there in the quiet. I have a space in my home every single morning. I'll have a journal and I'll just begin to write thoughts. And it's amazing what I hear. And the way that God talks to me, just like a friend. And I am not perfect, and I am not extraordinary. I'm just like any of those disciples, probably not even that good. And he speaks to me in the quiet. He will do the same for you. You can seek his heart. How do we seek God's heart? What does that even mean? It really means leaning in and listening to what he might have to say. And we do that through reading his word. It doesn't have to be a lot. You can follow the plans and the apps that we have. But to be a friend of Jesus, hearing what he has to say and cultivating that friendship requires spending time in his word. You can join a group to discover that together with others. That helps me a ton. To be a friend of Jesus, really all that is required is an open heart to listen to him and then to respond in kind. This one key friendship will ensure your future with hope, fulfilled promises, clear direction, abundance, and grace. We grow in relationship with God when we do this. And one of the main ways that he grows us is in community through friendship with others. So let's talk about who to look for and finding friends that will change tomorrow's possibilities. All right? So let's dig in here for the next few minutes and really talk about the kinds of friends to look for that can change tomorrow's possibilities for each of us. So Marcus and I canceled our cable quite a few years ago, actually. And we exchanged it for Hulu and Netflix. And it's great. It's fine, in fact, except for when there is no new series playing. Right? We had to get caught up and we watch all the series and then there's over and then nothing new has gone on and we get it on delay anyways, but nothing new. And so we find ourselves in the show hole. You know, that like dark place where there's no shows to watch late at night. And so nothing was on and I was trolling around on the little Hulu app and I saw that there were a few episodes of The View. Yes, I said The View. That diverse group of overly opinionated women who holler over each other when they talk. And I don't think that I had actually watched that show since I was home changing diapers and feeding babies mashed sweet potatoes. It had been a while, but I thought, oh, this might be kind of fun. Might be take me back to my 10 a.m. mornings about 10 years ago. And so it was exactly as I had remembered it. Not much had changed. And while I thought that all of these women shouting their raging opinions over each other was quite entertaining, Marcus, my husband, about lost his mind with all of the loud noises coming through the screen, unable to hear what anyone was even actually saying. But life can be so much that way. We have such easy access to so much information. And Marcus talked a lot last week about the internet and social media and all of the noise of technology. And you know, here at Center Church, we're great with technology. In fact, I really love it. But if we allow all the noise of many holler in our heads so constantly, the sound will be deafening. It will be deafening. Everyone has advice for you. Everyone has an opinion and loud shouts across the table. We need to stop listening to the loudest voices in our head so we can start listening to the truest. I'm going to say that again for you. We need to stop listening to the loudest voices in our head so we can start listening to the truest. And the first is to surround yourself with a friend who makes you better. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." A sword or a knife made of iron is sharpened by itself, by another. That's how a butcher sharpens their knives, and so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend in this exact same way. With one another. A true friendship will put an edge on your life. False friends will dull your life. They will blunt your influence and they will drag you down. One of the tests of any friendship is asking yourself, am I a better person for having known this friend? Am I a better person for having known this friend? And I know to all of us adults in this room, this can seem real 16. But what I have discovered as an adult, now 43, needing eyeglasses, is that there's still that 16-year-old inside of most of us. And we often still surround ourselves with people that are dulling our lives and not sharpening them. And we're still allowing the forces of negativity and things that do not make us better drag us down, in fact, instead of surrounding ourselves with people that lift us up. The Apostle Paul actually tells us what to look for as we're building friendships. He tells us what to look for, what characteristics to look for when we're creating that circle to be surrounded and sharpened by in Ephesians 4:2. You can look it up later, but basically he describes them as this: humble, gentle, patient with one another, full of grace. Full of grace. These are good friends. So ask yourself this morning, who makes me a better parent? Go spend time with them. It doesn't have to be a formal sit-down meeting. It might be conversation that happens in a school parking lot. But go surround yourself with them. Who makes you a better spouse? Go grab dinner together. Just take the bold, brave step and say, let's go to dinner. I need to surround myself with a better marriage because I want a better marriage. Who makes better financial decisions and has fruit of their life to prove it? Go buy them a latte. Or, because they are in a better financial situation, ask them to buy yours. Who makes you hungry for faith? Who makes you desire God? And that's number two. It's lean into a friend who brings spiritual strength. The friend who knows spiritual strength, let me tell you what they look like. They are someone who knows who they are, whom they belong to, and they bring strength to your own resolve as a Christ follower. And so I want to look at 1 Samuel for a story about a man named David, who most of you, I'm sure, have at least heard about him a time or two, whether you heard about him as a shepherd boy or you heard about him as a king. You've heard about David, the same guy who wrote most of the Psalms. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, there was a man named Samuel that actually went to David's house There he was with all of his brothers and his dad. And at that time in chapter 16, again, it's a great story if you want to read it, but I'm just going to give you the cliff notes. But in chapter 16 in 1 Samuel, Samuel came and anointed David to be king. Anointing just means he appointed him. He made him, he was sent by God to appoint him as to be the king of Israel. And so this meant that David was going to be the king of Israel for about 40 years. But what this also meant is that there was a man named Saul who wanted to be king that was actually rejected from that role. He was not appointed by God. David was. And so as a result, this left Saul really, really angry. And he was on a mad hunt for David for years. And in the passages to come, we're going to talk about in 1 Samuel 23. But David had an army that he had to lead and people of God to defend. So David went about doing his business while Saul chased after him. And in verse 1 of chapter 23, David was told that the Philistines are now attacking Keilah and they're looting the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, "Should I go and fight these Philistines?" "Go," the Lord answered, "fight the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look how frightened we already are here in Judah. It'll be worse if we go to Keilah against Philistine forces." So David asked the Lord again. The Lord reaffirmed, "Yes, go down to Keilah because I will hand the Philistines over to you." So just a little background. In the agricultural societies of the ancient Near East, grain was a highly valued commodity. Grain that actually reached the threshing floor was at the end of a really lengthy process of labor-intensive cultivation and harvesting. So the looting of the threshing floor was a particularly effective means of weakening an adversary. But even more so, in that passage of Scripture, look how David, anointed king, a man of great faith, one who had already killed giants and was appointed by God, is afraid and asks God twice if he's hearing him right. So through a series of more events and more of David leading his men to the places that God wanted them to go as they ran from Saul, David lived in fortresses and in the wilderness and in the hills of many lands, and Saul searched for him constantly. In verse 15, it says this. It says, "While David was at Horesh in the Ziph wilderness, he learned that Saul was looking to kill him. Saul's son, Jonathan, came to David at Horesh and encouraged him with God." A friend came named Jonathan and encouraged him. It goes on to say that Jonathan said, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul's hand won't touch you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be your second in command. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Jonathan came as a minister of encouragement to his very fearful friend David. Jonathan offered support to David in the face of grave danger. It was completely selfless of him, especially considering he was protecting David from his very own father. Jonathan's very presence lifted David's spirits. And beyond that, there was Jonathan's certainty about God's will for the future, his own resolve that he then deferred to David, and his admission that even Saul, his own dad, knew that God would not allow David to be touched. Do you have a Jonathan in your life? When you are doubting your circumstances and God's ability to come through, when you're questioning your own ability to discern next steps and even right from wrong, when you are afraid and even paralyzed in those very dark moments of your life, who is the friend that brings you spiritual strength? Spiritual strength. Who points you to the truth in God's word and what he says about you and your circumstances? Because sometimes when we're asking God for answers, he sends a friend. Sometimes when we're asking God for answers, he will send you a friend, and this friend will make you hungry in your faith and leave you wanting more and more of God. They are the ones with the ability to touch your heart and nourish your soul. So lean into a friend who brings you spiritual strength. Lastly, Submit yourself to a friend who tells you the truth. Over 3,000 years ago, King Solomon wrote, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Proverbs 21 says, "Better to correct someone openly than to let him think you don't care for him at all. Friends mean well, even when they hurt you. But when an enemy puts his arm around your shoulder, watch out." In 2009, there was a movie titled, "He's Just Not That Into You." And it was a group of interconnected Baltimore 20, 30-somethings, and they were navigating their various relationships from the shallow end of the dating pool. And despite the all-star cast, there was Ben Affleck, Jen Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Scarlett Johansson, and Bradley Cooper, just to name a few, the movie actually received meh reviews. I liked it, but receiving the truth is embracing your reality, which is actually an acquired taste that most of us prefer to ignore. He hasn't called you back because, well, he's just not that into you. Telling your friend something that they really don't want to hear, like warning them about a relationship, it takes a lot of courage. It says that you care about the person even more than you're valuing having that friendship. And what a gift to have a friend that values in you enough that they would risk your friendship. In a day when friendships come and go as easily as choosing a Facebook status, true, true friends are very hard to find. So what a gift. It's a gift to have a friend who would be willing to tell you the truth to your face, tell you a harsh reality, rather than talking behind your back, or rather than not saying anything at all. You are doubly blessed if that same friend will weather the storm of life with you, even if it's a storm that you might have actually created yourself. I have always, for those of you who know me, who have known me for a while, this won't be a shock. For those of you who don't know me, I'm just warning you, I've always been a loud voice. I've been a communicator since my earliest years, and my dad would often use a passage of scripture about the power of my tongue when I was receiving correction as a teen. He would say, "Jennifer, words kill, words give life, they either poison or they bear fruit. You choose, sweetheart." And it wasn't until, though, I was 21, and I was living in a house with 8 other 20-year-olds, four, all girls, 4 firstborns, a set of sisters, an only child, and me, all living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And this is where I learned the power of my mouth really, really well. I learned the lesson about being so highly communicative because I shared a very close proximity with a bunch of girls who were exactly the same. And after our words went to battle one night, my friend Nina, that I shared a room with, said, "Jen, I think you might benefit from being a little slower to speak and quicker to listen." I really did not love what she said that night. I really wanted to use my words to win. But I submitted that night to a friend who spoke truth to me, and things changed for me from then on. I'm still quite the mouthpiece, but with God's grace and a little ongoing maturity, it's used for a lot more good than bad these days. A truth-telling friend gifted that to me. So when it comes to friending, these are the people. These are the people to surround yourself with. And it's amazing how just one or two can change the trajectory of your life or your perspective on life. But have you ever considered being that friend? I know we came in this morning to receive, but I want to encourage you that sometimes you receive when you give. Someone invited you here. If it's your first time today, welcome, and hopefully you have received something of value in the last hour. If not, There's at least a good cup of coffee out there for you. Grab it before you leave. But for those of you who are back, there's a reason. Perhaps this is the place you found God. Maybe this is a place that you received hope. Maybe this is a place that your child had fun in church for the very first time. Maybe this is the place that you came because the people seemed kind of friendly, but you stayed because you made a friend. A friend that lifted you up, a friend that brought you a meal when you were sick, a friend that would fit the bill when times were hard, a friend that watched your kids so you could pick up an extra shift, a friend who didn't have to say anything at all, but was just there when you needed them. Friend who's willing to dig into God's word with you and help develop your faith so that you can grow. It's great to have those friends. It's priceless, in fact. But my mom always told me that to have great friends, you gotta be one. And I think she's right. So I want you to open up this program that you received when you came in, and I want you to grab this colorful, skinny little thing. It's this card in your program that you got this weekend. Take it out, because this card right here is way more than just colorful cardstock. This card right here is an opportunity for you to go be somebody's friend. And I know that the thought of giving it to someone and inviting them to come and sit with me, which is what it says on the back, come sit with me on Easter Sunday, is actually not as simple as I'm about to make it sound. I realize that. I know it because we actually had this talk in our living room this past week, Marcus and I, with our four kids. And one of my daughters said what you are all thinking. She actually asked her dad and I to pray for her, specifically that she would have courage to invite a friend to come and sit with her at church, because to go hand this card felt so awkward. I told you, deep inside, we're all still a little tween, because I know every single one of you feels exactly the same way. It's a little awkward, and I get that. But somebody decided to get awkward and be a friend to invite you here. And aren't you glad that they did? This card right here represents all three of the attributes that we've talked about this morning. One, you could be the friend that makes them better by bringing them to a community of faith where they will feel the hope and encounter true love and grace. Two, you could be the friend to invite them and they will be strengthened in their spiritual walk. Perhaps they'll find Christ for the first time. They'll accept his love and his grace. Three, you could invite them, enable them to hear truth, real truth about a loving God who can save their life and give them all the provision and blessing that they could ever need. All three in this one little card. So I'm asking you to be a friend this week and join me and give this to one person that says, just come, sit with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would send divine connections our way this week, ones that we need, the friends that we need, that will help us take great next steps, that lift us up, that make us better, that speak the truth, that grow us in our faith. And then I ask that you would give us the boldness and the courage to be that friend, and that we would just take one step to invite one person. Thank you, Jesus, for being our friend, one that sticks closer to us than any brother, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.